sitting in groups. Don't let that freak you out. Some people can't handle things like this. You're not going to play shower games. You're not going to have to guess what each other's favorite food is. And it has nothing to do with anything future like this as some kind of divisions with what I'm about to share with you. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is that each one of you is sitting in a group with at least one elder from the church and some ministry leaders in the church who already know what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I'm going to share some things with you that you're going to need a little time to process. And you may have some questions. And I wanted it to be sort of an intimate setting. And so when I get through, we're just going to take this one row as one group. And you're just going to pull your chairs into a circle with Maggie and be able to talk about it for 5 or 10 minutes. This group over here is a little bigger, but you're going to form a group just so you can ask questions and talk. And these rows right back here with Mike are going to be a group. And then this side over here is going to be a group. And so I know that many of you may not have your Bibles tonight, but I'm going to just read a short passage from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And after I read that, then I'm going to give you some information, and I'll come back to the passage of Scripture, and you'll understand what it means in a little bit. Maggie, would you pray before we begin? Amen. Can you, let's just read the scripture. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 9. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, I'll come back to that in a little bit. I'm going to just be very clear and very, very plain tonight. I want this to be just an intimate family meeting. I'd like to be sitting on a bar stool talking to you, but I couldn't find one. So I don't want to preach tonight. This is business tonight, but it's the business of the kingdom. And before I share with you the news that I'm going to lay on you tonight, some heavy news, I want you to see the smile on my face. I am excited. When you came in, I wasn't over here wringing my hands. I'm excited about the future, and I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm going to drop a bomb on you, and then we're going to pick up the pieces, and we're going to clear the ground. And then when, by the time we leave here tonight, I think you're all going to be okay, and I believe that you're going to be as excited as I am and as the leadership of the church is. So just bear with me. You're going to have 1,000 questions come up during what I'm about to say in the next few minutes. What I ask is that you not let your mind run with negative thoughts, and that you wait, because most of your questions will be answered, and I believe they'll be answered in a way that's pleasing and satisfactory and that reassures you. And then in the end, you'll have time to ask questions, maybe if you have some that I haven't answered. I'm just going to go ahead and drop the bomb on you first, okay? We are about to relocate. We are going to be establishing two locations. Almost all aspects of the ministry will be the same. We will technically be out of this building by February 1st, but in reality, that is the date that I have given that we will need to be out. In actuality, we will begin our services in new locations the first Sunday in January. Now, don't panic. Remember, I've got a lot of details to give you. We are still one church, one family, and you'll be able to go as God leads you, and we're going to be together. Just bear with me as I give you the information. We are going to have one location that is near Val Vista and 60, and we're going to have one location right here in downtown Mesa. Maggie and I will be at both services on Sunday morning. There will be an early service here at 9 and another service at 11 at Val Vista. It's called Multiply and Grow. Eventually, Lord willing, we will also have a location in Queen Creek. That's the bomb. Now let me begin telling you why, what God is saying, and give you details. And yes, I'm following my notes very closely because I don't want to ramble. I want to give it to you just as we have gone over it with leadership, and I've explained what I believe that God is saying, and I want you to understand every detail, and I want you to understand why. So, for some of you, this is emotional, and it'll take you some time to process, but I believe by the time you leave here tonight, you're going to be excited. You've got to remember, some of you, this is the only faith harvest you know. But for others that have been here, we were once meeting in a living room in our house. And then we met at a conference room down at the Quality Inn down the street. And then we met in a building down the street, and then God brought us into this building. Everywhere that we were the church. We were not a building. We were a family, and we have grown, and I will share more about that in a moment. So let's deal with why. First of all, because God has spoken, but you need some details. And this is very important, and I'm going to come back to this several times, because people are going to ask you questions, and you're going to hear negative comments. We have not been evicted. We have not failed. In fact, we could stay, and you'll understand why we're not as I talk. But I want to share with you how and what God has spoken to me. I'm not going to be able to answer every question of your heart tonight as to some of the whys, and you'll know what I mean in a little bit, but God will make them clear in time. You remember those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, I preached a sermon on knowing the will of God, and knowing the will of God, and I talked about the word says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that means that He gives us light for the next step. He doesn't give us the whole picture a year from now. He tells us to take a step of faith, and He lights up the way. Then we take a step of faith, and then God shows us the next step. So everything is not going to be laid out tonight, but there are some things, as I shared with you a moment ago, that are very clear. I'm not going to go into every detail is what caused me to get really serious with God about this a couple of weeks ago. But about 2 weeks ago, I began to earnestly. It just became really intensely important that I seek the Lord. For those of you that have been here, you know the last year has been a real struggle. I set aside 3 days and I asked God to hear me and asked that after the 3 days of prayer was over that He would give me an answer. I've asked over and over for more than a year, and I was like, God, I've got to have something settled in my spirit. I could not resolve my feelings about the finances and about our continuing here, even though God has given us favor with our landlord. And for those who don't know, our rent here is like $4,350 a month. And this last year, for the last 2 or 3 months, we've only paid her $1,000 a month. The economy has hit hard, and it's hit our church hard. And I'll come back to that. After 3 days were over, God spoke loud and clear. There are moments in my life that I think God is speaking and you move by faith. And then there are times that God is very, very clear. And I'll come back to how I know that a little bit more in a moment. And through some circumstances and some conversations, he left it so that it was crystal clear to me that I knew what he was saying. But my questions were, Lord, why have the finances been so difficult? We have been here 7 years and you have poured out miraculous supply at times. Now, some of you have been here a long time and some of you haven't, but even some that have been here a long time, we tend to magnify the bad in our minds and we forget the good. And I want to set, there's some things I want to set straight tonight. I want this to be understood. Some people think that 7 years, it's been a struggle of finances here, that we've always been having to pray for finances to come in. And it's been hard and all of this. That is a distortion of reality. What you need to remember is that God supplied the first 2 years in this building paid in advance with no concern of finances whatsoever. The rent was paid in advance. And God supplied that miraculously. And then out of the 5 more years out of that, there were at least 1 or 2 years where God gave large gifts to this church. There was 1 whole year that we didn't have to worry about rent because God moved on someone's heart and large gifts have been given. But there have been times, as there are with all ministries that are of the Lord, there have been times that we've been on our faces at the end of every month saying, God, we don't have the rent. And supernaturally, God, at times He has astounded us with the way the rent has come in. But those of you who come to prayer meeting know that the last year, though we have gotten by, and though our landlady has been gracious, she can't go on like this forever. She's losing money. She has a mortgage on this building, and we're paying her less than what it cost her to own this building. And she has not made that an issue, and she's not asked us to leave or anything like that. But I know when God is speaking, when He's trying to get our attention, and there comes a time that, okay, if God wants us to stay, then He'll give us the full rent for her. And we also won't be getting behind on utilities and week and monthly bills like we are, because we've been running behind. So it's been almost a year now that it's been different. It's not been just on our faces and then this miraculous supply. He's provided, but He's trying to get our attention and He's speaking to us. Now, God brought me to a place in this, and you need to know when you're seeking the will of God that this is what you have to come to, that I would have no will of my own. That I could say, God, I'm prepared to stay, I'm prepared to go. Whatever you want us to do, I want your will. I don't want my will. And I don't want a building or anything else to be an idol. I want what you want. But I had to acknowledge that the brook had dried up. See, I was saying, God, is it that the brook has dried up like the brook Cherith? And that was God's will. God used that and He directed Elijah to do something that He wouldn't have done if the brook hadn't dried up. Or God, is this just the attack of the enemy and we have to keep standing? And I believe that God made it very clear. The Lord brought to my remembrance some things. One was the vision that He had given me in years past concerning this ministry. And we have always, and some of you have been here and you know I've talked about it over and over again. Several years ago I was saying we need to plant a church in East Mesa. We need to branch out. It doesn't matter that we're a small church. You multiply and you grow. And there are people that drive to this church. Over half of this church drives from East Mesa, Apache Junction, and Green Creek. And the rest come from here, you know, generally in the Mesa area. And so the Lord brought that back to my remembrance. Now, about 2 years ago, I had felt very strongly about this, and I went to the elders, and I began to talk about it. And God bless them. They had valid reasons that they brought to my attention that it was not the timing of the Lord. Some things that I had not considered had to do with some issues in the church that are no longer issues. And when we left that meeting, I knew, okay, God, I believe this is your will, but this is not your timing. And so I put it on the back burner. God brought that back to me during this last year, but especially as I was seeking Him for those 3 days a couple of weeks ago. Second thing is, we live by faith, but I'm going to tell you, and you'll understand this when I get through, by the Word of God. We are not exempt from the reality of the times in which we're living. We do not live just far removed from the circumstances around us. And what I mean by that is the economy has been hit hard and our church has been hit hard. I don't know of but maybe one or two families that haven't been hit by the economy in these two ways, loss of jobs or else income being cut. It has devastatingly affected the finances of the church. And I have to consider you. I have to consider you. This building is not just my debt, if you will. It's yours, too. We're a family. And I have to consider where you are in this situation with you, with the Lord. You might want to explain. So the economy has been hit hard. And those reasons that I talked about with the elders 2 years ago no longer exist. Then God began to speak to me about ministry. We have been a ministry that has depended, now listen closely, we've been a ministry that has depended upon miracles from God in order to exist for the 14 years that we have been here. We have not failed to see God do miracles and provide for us. Amen? And there's a place for that. My faith has been built up. I have gleaned from the lives of people like George Mueller and Hudson Taylor that many of you have heard me talk about. I've prayed and seen God answer miraculously, but it seemed that there was something different about this situation. I had to determine if it was God drying up the brook or if it was the enemy hindering the work. God showed us in the midst of this that George Mueller, and if you're not familiar with George Mueller, George Mueller founded orphanages in England, and without letting it be known to anyone in the public, he prayed in his lifetime, the equivalent today of millions of dollars to support the orphans in his orphanages. And it was just a miraculous supply, his entire ministry. And I've always walked that way. When we need something, I believe God that way. But God was showing me some things. That was an extended ministry of faith operated by a believer, but that was not a church. He was not pastoring a church. The orphans couldn't pay tithes and offerings. God's church is supported by tithes and offerings. And I believe that our people are tithing and giving the best that they possibly can during this time. Miracles in the Bible are for a time of need, for times when God is calling you to something for which there is no possibility of natural support. But the church is to be supported by God's people. Then God began to speak to my heart about the times in which we are living. And you know that occasionally, often that's focus here at Faith Harvest, about the end times and about the things that are coming upon us, about considering the reality of the economy in which we are living and the effect that it has had on you. Again, God said there's a time for miracles, but there's also a time, listen to me, there's also a time to consider wisely the current trends and make plans for the future. We are in, whether the media calls it this or not, we are in a depression or a very, very, very bad recession. Thank God that when we moved into this building, we had a conviction. That conviction is that we don't operate the church on debt. They could have financed this building for us, and we could have borrowed and bought this building, and right now we would have been in a mess, because churches that have done that are going bankrupt all over the nation right now, right and left. It's just a steady stream of churches going bankrupt. And we're, thank the Lord, we're not in that position. A friend of mine works at Fiesta Lincoln Mercury, where I get our car serviced. Whenever I go in, I ask him about his church. He goes to a church in Gilbert. And the last time that I talked to him, I said, well, how's it going with your church? He said, well, it's not. And I said, what do you mean it's not? He said, when the economy did what it did, he said, our pastor just got a job and closed up the church. Now, I can't judge that pastor, but for me, and this is what I told the leadership the other night, as long as God gives me a flock to shepherd, I have pledged to do everything within my power to deliver them safely home to the Lord. This is not about abandoning the flock, but it doesn't require this building. If you came to me and said, Pastor, my house has 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. We love it. We've always loved it. We've got 1 kid. We know we're going to have more, and we're believing for more. And so every month now we're having to ask God, oh, God, we need $1,000 just to make our mortgage payment. But we don't make, my wife's lost her job, and we don't make anywhere near that kind of money. This pastor that believes in miracles and has seen them, do you know what my counsel to you would be? My counsel would be downsize. God can always give you another house when you have more kids. Live within your means. And I have to take my own advice. Now, I want to share another thing that happens to have a bearing on this, but it's not the only thing. You know, if you've been here over the years, you know that our ministry and that my walk is not based on far out dreams and visions and supernatural things like that, but we know that God does use those. God has spoken to me maybe two or three times during my ministry through dreams. And when God gives you a dream, you wake up and you know that it's from God. You might not know exactly what it means at the time, but your heart is set upon asking Him, what do you mean by this? What are you saying? Are you warning me? What are you doing? And so about 6 months ago, I had a dream. It did not precipitate this, but God kept bringing it back to me, and He used it to prepare me. I had a dream about 6 months ago, and I was in a house. At the time, I didn't know if it was our house or if it was the house, which is the church. And I was looking out of a plate glass window. There was a picture window, and I was looking out of the window, and there was a tornado. And by the way, the other times that God has spoken to me through dreams, at least one or two of those times, it was tornadoes. It represented storms that were coming, not weather storms. And there was the biggest tornado I've ever seen coming right at the house, coming at the window. And suddenly I was picked up, the house was picked up, we were spun up into the air, but we were immediately set back down in a different place. And yet nothing was broken, we were apparently on a solid foundation, and the window wasn't even broken. And I remember when I woke up thinking the window wasn't even broken, I could see clearly out the window. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? And I didn't tell Maggie. And I didn't want to put, even though something's from the Lord, it can still make you anxious because some of you know we go through some pretty tough situations with our, especially right now with our youngest son. And I was like, Lord, I don't know if we can take another storm. Is there a battle coming that's going to move us dealing with that situation? Or is it the church? Is it that you're going to move the church? What are you doing? So God was preparing me. So that as this thing began to come and as God began to speak to me, I knew what He was saying and I knew what He was doing. Now I want to make a point here. I am not predicting, I'm not a prophet. But for 10 years at least, I have preached to you and I've taught you that I know within my heart, based upon the Word, the principles in the Word, and upon trends, that there's a difficult time coming for the church in America. There's a storm coming against the church in America. And I'm not saying that 3 months from now the storm is going to hit. I'm not saying that. I've told you in times past there'll come a day when we'll have to meet in homes. And this is not apparently that yet. But that storm was coming at the house, and I realized that that house was the church. And Elijah had prophesied judgment. And the very prophecy that he gave was that drought was coming, that was a judgment. And that prophecy, the fulfillment of that prophecy was the very thing that God used to move him. I hope you can see the correlation here. The very thing that I'm not the only pastor. Pastors all over America are preaching that there's a storm coming. And all you have to do is read what's going on in the news and know what's coming against the church. And so, there is, I believe, a big storm that is coming. But there's a smaller storm, which is the finances. And I believe God has used, because when God gives a word, if you look back in the Bible, God gives a warning or God gives a word, it's so that you can pray and you can prepare and not be caught by the brunt of the judgment. God's people, you remember? God told Jonah to tell the people in Nineveh that judgment was coming, but they repented and it didn't come. And so God, I believe, is using a storm, these finances, in order to cause us to hear His voice, in order to be shifted, to grow, and to do what He wants us to do, to be more concerned with ministry than finances, more concerned with the lost than finances, and to put us where He wants us. But I believe that it's also so that we will be positioned where He wants us to be as these things come upon the church in America. Now, I said that the window was clear, and that means that you could see clearly when it was over, and when we were through the storm. I'm not promising you this, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe God's given me this. I believe that sometime down the road, whether it's a month or whether it's a year, I believe that you Not just me, that you are going to see so clearly that you're going to say, I understand and I know now exactly why God did this. And it's going to be plain for all to see. I'll get to the nitty-gritty in a moment, but I want you to understand the positive aspect of this and how God uses pressure, even tight finances, in order to steer us. And I want you to know sort of a pattern of when I know that I've heard from God. Some of you know that when we left Georgia years ago, there was a storm in our family, not our immediate family, but my extended family. There was a problem that was so painful that we lived with it for years. And it was one of those things that just crushes you over and over and over and over again. And then God, having nothing to do with that issue, God spoke to us about moving, and He clearly released us from living there and told us to move. And years later, as we go back, I have family members who have asked, did you move because of the situation in the family? And I was able to honestly say, no, I didn't move because of the situation in the family. If I were going to move, if I would have moved because of that situation, I would have left a long time ago. But I didn't. I stood. I stood as the Lord said to stand. And then when He spoke, I went not because of that situation, but because He spoke. But understand this. He used the situation to take my love for that place, the idolatry of my heart that would have not, that I would have not moved if it hadn't been that God broke that down in me over a period of years that I didn't have to live there anymore. Then He could speak to me and then I would obey. So I want you to understand clearly, it's going to be difficult for you to explain to the people who are like, but we are not moving because of finances. But finances have been used by God to prepare me and us to hear from God and to be able to say, okay, God, we're listening. It is not because we have failed or God has failed or we have lost His favor. If I thought that, we'd be on our knees tonight praying for greater faith and repenting for anything that we may have done to lose His favor. We're moving in obedience and in wisdom. And you are the ones who are so important. My only concern was for you. My concern isn't what people think. My concern isn't me and Maggie. My concern isn't anything except my desire is that not one would be lost in this, but that all would be a part of it. But some of you are going to hear negative comments from family and friends, people that were here and have gone. They're going to say things like, hey, I knew that you were going to lose the building. I knew you couldn't stay in that building or whatever. And I want you to understand that you must be positive. You'll have to decide how to answer those things. But I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that I will deal harshly with from the pulpit, it will be if I hear comments coming back from my own congregation where you've said to someone, yeah, we lost the building. If someone says, did you lose the building? Say, no, we know exactly where it is. We haven't lost. We chose to follow the Lord in obedience. What will Faith Harvest look like right now for this next season? Well, at first, my vision over in the past had been because of where people live. I thought I looked out in Apache Junction, Queen Creek, that area, and then to have a location here, and we would go two directions, and then wisdom took over. And I realized that we have such family relationships, children that love each other, that it would be seen as like dividing the church, and it would be hard. And that is not what the Lord wants right now. We are a family. There are adults and children who we are linked together as a family. Amen. So this is the way the Lord has led for now. And again, you've got questions coming up. You're like, oh, but still, just bear with me. We will have a more central location for all that come to this church who would like to go to that location, and that will be at Val Vista. At the Val Vista Lakes Clubhouse. It's a super nice facility, but we will have no utility bills, no monitoring by the fire department each month, no overhead to speak of like we have here, and manageable fees for that space. It's a good space. It allows us an extra room, a breakout room, so that Leah can still have kids' church. There'll be some sound issues, but we'll work through that. And secondly, we will have services for right now, Lord willing, in the building next door where we have Sunday school. We will have services here on Sunday morning also for those who live in this area and who want to be a part of that location. You still have some questions. I'll answer them. Maggie and I will be at this location for an early service at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. And then we'll leave and we'll go to the Val Vista location for an 11 o'clock service. Now, I'll come back to this, but let me go ahead and say, nobody's being told where they have to go. And those who want to can go to both. But my belief is that after a while, you'll settle into where you believe God has called you. And we will still have times that we all come together if you're in one location or the other. At this time, there will be no Sunday school, though we will be possibly reinstituting it not long after we move. Midweek services is still an issue that we are seeking to work out. That's not as clear right now, but right now it will be in homes unless God provides us with facilities, with spaces that we can have midweek without it costing us. There will be no Sunday night services at this time, and prayer meetings will develop in homes as God leads. Except concerning Sunday night services, that one Sunday night each month, we will all come together. Both locations will come together as one for a family night supper and a worship service together. And possibly that will be at the location of Val Vista because it has a fully equipped kitchen right there in the part that we're using also. From the first month, there will be special activities for the kids, and there will also be activities planned for the teenagers. And they'll not be feel that they're left out in this. They're going to be special things for them. A few more statements will help answer some questions. All who want to go to Val Vista are welcome and invited. And all who want to come here to downtown Mesa are welcome and invited. The Val Vista location is being developed to be more convenient for people living in that direction. However, I want you to listen closely. Downtown is here for two reasons. Number one, for those who live in the downtown Central Mesa area. But also, now I want you to hear my heart. God has not released us from ministry to the poor, the inner city. We have a call to outreach. And this will just be, again, the beginning of a church in downtown Mesa. And so those, whether you go to Val Vista or both, or you come here, hear this. If you say in your heart, I know that God has called me to reach out to the people on the street, I know that God's called me to this downtown location, then you will be needed and welcome to help with this location. If you miss everybody, you can still go out to the other location. And like I said, we're going to be coming together a lot midweek and once a month in different ways. Each location will grow. It's a principle in the kingdom. Multiply. We are, in effect, planting two churches, but we are one church with two locations, and eventually, I believe, three. It will mean growth. Depending upon the political climate, God may give us permanent buildings in each location again. But then again, we don't know. Our desire would be, my desire is to have a permanent location as long as God allows it. So let me encapsulate a few things. I'm almost through. Listen closely. We are one church. We are one family. We'll continue to minister just as we do now. Leadership is the same. Kids will have kids' church at Val Vista, and as the need arises, depending on who comes here, we'll work that out here as well. Kids will still go to camp. We will still support our missionaries. We will continue to preach the Word of God the way He leads. We will continue to do missions. We will continue to do evangelism outreach. The evangelism team won't have to miss a lick. Men's and women's ministries will continue, probably in homes. Genesis on Thursday nights will continue. Mission work in Mexico is going to continue to develop. We will go through Thanksgiving and Christmas this year here with joy. And don't cry and say, it's our last Thanksgiving here. We don't know what God's going to do next year. We still have a heart to minister to those who are in need. We're just going to be a lot freer to be focused on the ministry that God's called us to rather than the burden of finances. I know that I've heard from the Lord. I have total peace and relief. The elders and the leadership are on board with this. My desire is that each one of you here tonight would find your place in this and help us to make this not only a success, but the start of much future growth for the kingdom of God. John Wesley once said, "Nothing to do but save souls." Nothing to do but save souls. That's our mission. So I'm going to ask now that you take your chairs and this group just form a circle. That group form, just turn the front row around and pull in as tight as you can. And Janie and the row in front of her, y'all form a group and this group form a group. Because you may have some questions. You may be sad. You may be happy. I don't know. But you can let it all out and talk to the elders and leadership in your group. And if there's any questions that they can't answer, I'll be glad to help with that.